You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Bracket Magazine.
MemoCast episode 9, Steve the Chair's big day out. We are here actually recording on a Monday for once, and so we'll see how that goes for us.
Yeah, it might not be out until Tuesday.
No, I am, because I'm off work at 4. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get this out.
You're going to get this out?
I'm going to get this out before Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
That is a goal.
You're going to get this out. I'm going to be at home. I'm going to be at my friend's house playing Dungeons & Dragons.
It's all okay. I'm going to be ogling men in spandex, throwing each other in a ring. Yours sounds infinitely much more manly.
Yep.
All right. So here we go. Lots of news things happened this past week, as well as the dynamic duo going to Anime Expo, a first time experience for both of us. Before we get into that, just want to talk. I'll maybe dedicate this episode, or at least make a mention of it. Phone ringing in the background. Make a little mention of it to the voice for Commissioner Gordon from Batman the Animated Series, Bob Hastings, passed away last week. And it's just, it's a huge blow to my childhood to see this guy, you know, have his time come.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really sad, because I remember when I was a kid watching the Batman Animated Series. Yeah. It was one of the few things that I actually could sit down and watch.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting about the Batman Animated Series? I feel that that was the gateway for most people who grew up around the same era that we did into, being a nerd or understanding or having some kind of knowledge about comic books and the like.
Yeah.
You know, it was on Fox Kids. It was arguably one of the best, if not, like, the best, like, cartoon shows of the genre ever. And just great animation, great writing, you know, great storytelling.
Definitely.
You know, and the best part was is that it could appeal to anyone of all ages. So, like, if you were, like, a little kid, you would get it because it's Batman and it wasn't. I mean, even if you might not grab all, like, the concepts going on, you enjoyed it. At the same time, like, adults could watch it, or teenagers, adults, what have you, could watch it and be like, wow, this is some brilliant
stuff. Oh, definitely. They had some, like, really cool villains on there. They had, like, Baby Doll, who is someone you've never seen since.
Yeah. They took a fair amount of his rogues gallery. They tended to stick more to the popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you saw, like, a good mix. I mean, you saw Ra's,
yeah.
You saw the Joker, Clayface, Killer Croc, Poison Ivy, you know, the introduction of Harley Quinn into the whole universe as a whole.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She made her debut in the episode, I believe, Mad Love. That was, like, what brought her into the fold.
Yeah, I remember that when Batman was talking to her, I was like, did he tell you the story about how his parents took him to the circus? And she was like, oh, what did she say? She was like, it was the aquarium or something like that.
Yeah, so, Commissioner, thanks for help keeping the streets of Gotham safe.
Our heart goes out to you, wherever you're at, big guy.
Yeah, and we're going to go into some more, since we're having positive, reminiscent vibes, we're going to talk about Robin Williams. So the great Robin Williams just recently checked himself into rehab to fine-tune his sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost pretty much read the headline word for word.
Yeah, out of the LA Times article we have pulled up on the computer right now.
Yeah. And so he didn't crash. He didn't relapse. He acknowledged to himself, and I think it's a good thing that, you know, in order to maintain his sobriety, it's an ongoing battle. It's something that you need help with from time to time.
Definitely.
And, you know, we appreciate him for realizing that, because some people don't. They feel like, oh, I'm clean, and then that's it, and then that's how they crash.
No, definitely. It's definitely a good thing that he's able to admit it, because there's so many people that are, you know, alcoholics or have problems with drugs. That think, okay, I went to rehab once, I was forced to go once, okay, now I'm good forever. But, you know, even just talking, like, Robin Williams talking about it, Craig Ferguson talking about it, even, like, Jeff Jocks, the cartoonist for Questionable Content, talking about sobriety.
Yeah.
Another good person who talks about sobriety a lot is Russell Brand.
Yeah.
All these guys talking about how sobriety is an ongoing battle, and that, you know, a famous line from Craig Ferguson was that some people can have just one drink and be fine for the night. These people are not those people.
Yeah.
So I think it's really great that he's going to get some help and that he's he's going to continue to be healthy, to produce stuff for us to watch for the rest of our lives.
Yes, and for those of you who may be dealing with these kind of issues, and just know that even if rehab isn't necessarily an option, you have friends, there's various hotlines and resources on the internet. So, just take advantage of them, definitely. If it's just talk, even if like you just talk to your best friend, like, hey, I'm having like these thoughts, because just getting them out, really helps. So Robin, thank you for being this voice of, authority to be like, hey, it's tough. Especially because he had a really big, cocaine
problem? Oh, yeah, he had a huge coke problem.
Coke, yeah. All right, so we're going to go into our next topic, which is related to cartoons, like we started things off. And that's, so Skylar Page, who was a writer for Adventure Time, and then a writer and technically creator for the hit show Clarence, was recently let go from Cartoon Network for allegations of sexual harassment.
Oh, yeah.
And so we read about this in the Mary Sue, which I feel is the article that hit. And it's funny, because I feel like we're always reading the Mary Sue. Well, it's because of how really well put together the articles
are. Oh, definitely.
Like, that it's just a great source to read anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, pretty much what happened was, I guess, like, accusations came out, and rather than Cartoon Network being like, well,
where's the proof? What were you wearing when it happened?
Yeah, maybe you were asking,
Yeah.
They weren't wishy-washy. They took swift action, which was greatly appreciated, because I feel like you just almost never see that kind of reaction.
Definitely.
In these cases. And, so we'll see how it unfolds, but like just them being willing to take that kind of like a stance on this was really awesome.
Yeah, and apparently this was an ongoing problem since his college days.
Yeah.
From what we read is that like he'd been harassing and groping women since he was like at Cal Arts.
Yeah.
And that the woman who came forward and made the allegations, once she came forward, a slew of women came forward. Just personally to her and said, like, thank you for standing up and saying this. Which is really messed up, because we shouldn't live in a society where someone is brave for coming forward to say, hey, this dude groped me without my permission.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, at the same time, I have to, thank her, because even though we don't live in that society quite, I mean, we have to take things as they are, not as we would like them to
be. Exactly.
The fact that she was still able to come out and say this and give, let these other women know that, hey, you shouldn't be afraid was, it's a step in the right direction.
Definitely.
So, we'll see how this plays out, but I have warm fuzzy knowing that Cartoon Network was pretty awesome on their end.
Yes, definitely. They really were. Handled the situation perfectly.
Okay, so we went to Anime Expo this weekend. I went for 2 days. Michael went for just one. And but both days were really awesome. I mean, we're going to jump into that really quickly in a second. We're going to take a musical break. But, I mean, overall, you would say the experience was pretty rad, right?
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay. It is definitely awesome. I have no complaints. And so we're going to hear a song by the band Great Cynics out of the UK. This song is called 25. And then when we get back, we're going to just do a fairly decent... Oh, I say decent. I hope it's better than decent. Fairly comprehensive.
A fairly mediocre conversation about Anime Expo.
Fairly underwhelming.
Okay.
A fairly underwhelming conversation about Anime Expo and magic and science.
And science!
All right, so keep it here. Here's Great Cynics. We'll be back in a second.
Bye, guys.
Got a lot to say, and you've got to forget what I've for. To make something from this connection. I'm not looking for attention. I'm just trying to make something from this connection. I'm not looking for attention. I'm just trying to make something from this connection. I'm not looking for attention. I'm just trying to make something from this connection.
All right, that was Greek Cynics with 25.
Welcome back.
Yes, and so we are going to talk about the Anime Expo, and so it took place over the 4th of July weekend, so it was there, actually, I'm trying to think, it was there, there was the 0 day, which was on Wednesday the 2nd, and then it was
the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yeah. So it was there 4 days, and from what I was reading is that this was the biggest event that they had ever had, like they've never had such high attendance.
Oh, wow.
Saturday, actually, they had to close off on-site registration.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there was at one point, like, their Twitter was actually fairly active, so if you were following, you'd get all the updates of what was going on. And so they tweeted, hey, on Saturday, they said, hey, everyone who's in line right now, you'll get in, but we're not taking anyone else, like, the line has been cut off. And then, so I keep hearing various reports, and but mostly what I was hearing is that the attendance was roughly about 80,000.
And It felt like 80,000.
You know, which is nuts, you know, and so for me, like, for them to, like, run out, like, the day of, which, you know, is like, okay, well, does that mean that we'll see a future versions where it'll sell out in advance, which is, like, the case for some of the bigger cons, like NYCC and SDCC coming up over here,
mm-hmm.
which would be cool, you know, I, you know, want to see, you know, grow, so that'll be a nice experience to see for the
Anime Expo.
Well, let's actually talk about what we saw there, the kind of things that we did, and just the adventures we were on. So we had a little bit of trouble parking, but once we got through, we found that $8 guy.
Yeah, the $8 guy. He was like, and you were like, oh, is the lot gonna be open? He just kind of smiled at you like, oh, you poor thing. You have no idea.
It's like, it'll be open, but your car won't be here. Or not all of your car will be here. It'll be on jacks.
Cinder blocks.
But, okay. It sucks that that second day, he upped his ante and started charging $30.
Oh, dang.
Luckily, I found a meter that was open, and so I just paid, like, $1.50.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. So, I'd rather pay $1.50 than $30.
Exactly.
But, so, we went to the Funimation panel.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
It was basically just one big commercial for Funimation products is what it was.
But it was still cool.
Yeah.
Because everyone was, like, stoked.
Yeah, the energy at the panels was really, really... Like, except for the cosplays business panel.
I think people were just more, like... It was more of a learning experience than anything else, and I think that's why.
Or they didn't know exactly what the panel was. Because the panel was advertised as 2014 Geeky Awards
in the
booklet that they gave out in those swag bags.
Yeah.
So when you went into that panel, you were expecting, like, oh, this is going to be some kind of awards thing.
Yeah.
And then when you actually read the description later in the book of, like, what each panel is,
yeah,
then, like, the full panel name was, like, 2014 Geeky Awards presents cosplay as business.
Yeah.
So there was, like, a dad in there with his two kids just, like, hanging out, like, what are we doing in here?
You know what? It was still really informative, though.
It was. It actually was really informative, and the people that were on the panel had a lot to say. One of the guys' name was Mike something, and I forget what it was, but he was an industry professional.
Yeah.
who started off doing like Star Wars.
He did Star Wars and didn't he work on? Oh, he did Star Wars like
cosplay. Remakes. Yeah, back during like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
and then and he was actually contracted by LucasArts to do the Stormtrooper outfits. Yeah. For when they re-premiered all the movies.
And was it when year, what year did that happen? 97?
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, because I remember being fairly young.
Yeah.
So that was cool. You also had Bernie, who was the host. And mm-hmm. so he does the Nerds Like Us showing their movie screenings. And they're actually doing Predator, not this upcoming Friday, but the Friday after, the 18th.
Yeah.
Then he's also one of the people who does Club Cosplay, which is an event I went to in Corona a little while back. Which is really cool. You also had, I'm trying to think, you had a Lady Steam, who she's really big in the steampunk community out in LA, so she's mm-hmm. always doing all these crazy events.
Yeah.
And
Vampy Bitmy was there.
Yeah, she who's like another big, mm-hmm. you know, she's very friendly. She had like a booth thing going on later.
On the exhibition floor, yeah.
You also had Scruffy Rebel, Victoria, yeah. which is funny because I started going to the Nerd Fit thing, and so Victoria actually goes as well, and so okay. I saw her on Sunday.
Oh.
We didn't really get to chat too much, but she was saying that she like read my little write-up for like Nerd Fit, and she thought it was funny. And,
oh, okay.
You know, which is really cool. I'm glad that people are reading that, and mm-hmm. hopefully more people keep going. I'm trying to think. There was the other woman. I forget what her name was.
I do as well. She didn't talk very much.
Yeah. No, she talked a fair amount, but I even forget what her costume was.
Yeah. Well, we're sorry, other woman that was there. We apologize, and we will post in the news post who you were.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, so like because even though I'm not really a cosplayer, I don't plan on going into that business. I like learning about the different aspects of, like, you know, like the nerd community, and so cosplay being on the rise and being as big as it is now. It was cool to see, like, how some of these people had these small beginnings before, like, going into their businesses.
Definitely. They even address, like, copyright issues, so if you're going to sell things on Etsy
yeah.
or over, like, on Amazon or anything.
Or even just on your Facebook when you're yeah. making things.
Yeah, how to circumvent getting, you know, cease and desists from large companies.
And we won't share those.
No, yeah. But, I mean, it was really interesting to hear them talk about it, because I've been around a lot of cosplayers.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they don't really talk about where they get certain aspects of their costumes from.
Yeah.
Or, you know, secret. Yeah, exactly. And so you ask them, and they're kind of like, oh, well, you know, there's this guy online, he posts a thing. Blah, 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 blah.
He's like, what's the secret word?
Exactly. So it was very interesting for them to just come out and flat out address, like, this is how we do it. This is the methods we...
This is how we do it.
Exactly. And they also discussed the business aspect side of it, like how a lot of cosplayers try and get into business, you know, actually make it their business, and they fail terribly.
Because they don't have, like, that business plan.
Yeah, they don't have a mind for business, and they just want to create, and then they get burnt out because they're doing commissions and things like that.
But then, like, their price point isn't set well, so what's it called? Mike, who arguably, I feel like, is the one who's been doing it the longest. I could be wrong, but... he was saying, like, at one point when I first started, I was pretty much paying to make these commissions. Like,
yeah.
That's how badly I was losing money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was definitely a good experience. That panel was good. And then we went to the Sailor Moon English voice cast panel, which was... Okay, here's the deal. I've never watched Sailor Moon in my life. I think I've seen, like, half of an episode one time. Like, my cousin was watching it. I just happened to be in the room.
Well, before we go any deeper, I just want to let everyone know, if you go to Hulu.com, every week they're putting an episode from the original broadcast... So you can now start watching it. And also, Sailor Moon Crystal debuted this weekend. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
I think it was either yesterday or the day before.
It was Saturday.
Saturday, okay, yeah.
But, yeah, so, continue. Never seen it before.
Never seen it before. Being in that room with all those people who absolutely loved this show 20 years, like it's 20 years after the show debuted, being in this room full of all those people screaming and talking, and I got goosebumps. Like, it was electric. Mm-hmm. In that room, and I was just sitting there in awe, like, oh my gosh,
people were crying.
Yeah, like this one girl got up and she was like, I promised myself I wouldn't cry, and like she just like broke down and just was sobbing. And
the voice actress who played Sailor Moon like came out and
like gave her a hug, and it was amazing. And like when the woman who provided the singing voice
yeah.
for Usagi like came out and actually led the entire room in the theme song,
yeah.
And then, like, I captured that on video.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And the next thing you know, she's like, okay, now we're going to do Finding Nemo by Moonlight. I was like, no, my phone's already away. And I mean, in just an entire room singing. And even after she was done singing, they kept going.
Yeah. Like, we're going to finish the damn song.
Yeah, they finished the entire song, like, all, like, 3 minutes of it. It was crazy.
You know, it was a kind of a bummer because the panel started late but ended at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a huge line. A lot of people didn't get their questions. I feel the worst for is that one guy who was next, and they told him, oh, we're cutting off the line. So the line left,
mm-hmm.
and then, so it was just that one girl, and then they said, well, we can take another question to some randos. Like, yeah. Came up and got to ask a question. He, like, stood up, and I was like, he was next.
Yeah, he really was. It was really unfortunate.
You could see on his face, he was like, oh, man, fuck this. Felt bad for him, because he waited, and, it's a bummer. But, so that one, Funimation, I'm trying to think, if we went to, do we go to any of the panels, or do we kind of just, like, goof around before the magic show after that?
We went up into the balcony area, and you took a nap.
Yeah.
You laid on the floor and took a nap. But we were sitting right next to where there was a line for other panels.
For the One Piece podcast
panel. Yeah, One Piece podcast. One Piece podcast. And then the Wakfu panel.
Yeah, Wakfu!
And we, like, every, like, 2 minutes, one of, like, the enforcers of Anime Expo would come up and be like, are you guys in line? And we'd be like, no, we're just hanging out. And they'd be like, oh, okay. And, like, every two
and
minutes.
And if it wasn't them, it was like, it would be like, people, is this where the line is? Over there.
Yeah, we'd have to be like, oh, it's across the way. And then they would look down and it's just another huge line.
Yeah, and they'd be like, oh, man, we're never going to see Wakfu.
Yeah, so I...
we're never going to see Wakfu.
But then after that, after we went and we relaxed for a bit, we went and got something to eat. We went to the...
You had all that bacon.
Yes, they had food trucks there.
Mm-hmm.
And we went,
the sausage.
The curry kraut cart, where, like, there was, like, basically, like, a sausage cart, like a German sausage cart, but everything had curry on it.
Yeah.
And I got bacon fries.
Yeah.
And because there was a girl that was behind us that ordered the same thing that I did, when my order came out, she reached for it, thinking it was hers. And then, like, she saw me standing there. She goes, oh, my God, you ordered the same thing. I'm so sorry. Like, yeah, you know, take your fries. And I said, oh, no, you can have them. Like, you can have the first order. I'll take the second one.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the guy up in the cart because it was, like, really dark and he was at an angle. And he was like, that was really chivalrous of you. And I was like, oh,
mm-hmm.
okay. And then next thing I know, he was like, you're going to get extra bacon on your fries. And my fries were maybe 50% bacon.
Well, okay, you know what it was? He said, you're going to get a little extra
surprise. For that, you will be rewarded with bacon fries.
Well, no, because I said with more Texas.
Yeah.
The Texas bacon fries.
Yeah, Texas
and
bacon
then he goes, I was going to put more bacon. I was like, that's Texas. that's what happened. We even have a picture of that. We might just use that as, like, the picture for this week's
just
episode.
With my bacon fries out in the food truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then later on, we went to the dance club that they had there.
Yeah, which was interesting. There was a lot of drop the bass.
Yeah, it was a lot of trance, techno, house music.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, which I thought was really funny because it was like all ages until 10 o'clock. So we had like little kids, like, you know, 4 and 5 year olds dancing and stuff. Like, ah!
Yeah, with their parents and they're like, yay!
And then you have like... this one song was like, horses are for something, MF-er.
And it was like, hey, it's for horses, motherfuckers.
And we just kind of stopped and looked at each other, like, looked at the children.
And then the parents were like, it's time to leave.
Yeah. So, you went and did some dancing on the floor. I don't dance.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you missed it. Dude, that was a Nick Fury who was getting the party started in there.
Yeah.
And it was Ultimate Universe, like, Cinematic Universe Nick Fury. So
oh,
he was,
man.
Like, he was bumping, he was like... He's like, boom, pointing. Everybody's like, you, in here, now. And people would be like, I don't know. He pointed this one couple who were like, you know, like a couple's cosplay.
Yeah.
And he points at the girl and she's like, And then she like points to her boyfriend. And then he points to both of them. He's like, both of you. And I think they were like, Nick Fury's telling us we can't say no. I think that was just the rationale of Nick pointing to you.
Yeah.
Like, he's Nick fucking Fury.
Yeah.
But he's not really Nick fucking Fury, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. It was definitely... Even though I don't dance and I'm not in, like, the whole, you know, oh, get sweaty in a big throng of people.
Yeah.
I had fun hanging out and people watching and stuff.
It's interesting because things were going on until 2 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, I've never really seen that at a con. Usually it's, like, at most, like, you know, maybe the Masquerade or something will go to, like, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow, that's really late. And then after that, we didn't get out to 1 a.m., we went to the myth, a burlesque in magic show.
Yeah, Legends of Burlesque and Magic. which I'm going to be doing a write-up for, and it should be up on Racket either sometime tonight.
Well, we're going to do all the write-ups on Tuesday.
On Tuesday? Okay. So, yeah, it's probably going to go up tomorrow. Or, you know, today if you're listening to this on Tuesday. Yeah. Yesterday if you're listening on Wednesday.
Shut up and talk.
I really enjoyed it. I've only ever seen one burlesque show before, and it was one that was up on Netflix for a while.
Okay.
And
you've never seen anything live.
Yeah, I've never seen a live burlesque show. So going, I had a feeling that we were like those annoying guys, because Vixen DeVille, she was the host,
yeah.
And she came out and she kind of prepped the crowd in her, and she was like, okay, this side, I want you to guys, you know, hoop holler, do your thing, you know, middle side, do make these yeah. noises, this side, do that. And then she was like, you know, if you guys really want the show to be awesome and the dancers and the magicians and everyone to, like, give it their all, you really gotta make noise and you really gotta, you know...
She's like, if you see something you like, you want to see more of it, make noise.
Yeah. And I felt like you and I and the two guys next to us were the only ones making a lot of noise.
At least in our vicinity. Like, those, mm-hmm. those are huge crowds that are being really loud, like, here in, like... Every, you know,
yeah,
watch spot.
Kind of spotted throughout.
But we were, like, being obnoxious. Like, I was doing, like, Ric Flair woos. I was like, whoa!
I felt at one point I turned to Mondo, and I was like, I feel like I should have, like, a big glass of cognac, a cigar, and a top hat. Like,
and a monocle.
Yeah, and a monocle. And I should be like, oh, good show.
And I was like, are you the Planner's peanut guy?
Yes.
No, and what was really cool is that they didn't just have male female like burlesque performers. They had the one Green Arrow.
Yeah, which I think he wasn't so much burlesque because he was like comedic relief.
Yeah, but he still made it sexy.
Yeah, he was. You know, even if his
underwear shot confetti.
That little elephant trunk on the front. It was terrible. He got down to his skivvies. And he had this sock hanging off the front yeah. of his... And we were like, oh, okay, that's a thing.
Yeah.
And then he started gratifying himself
yeah.
over
like,
the crowd.
Oh,
and confetti started flying out the front of his sock. And it was just... We were like, oh, that's... All right, then.
No, but one of the better... I think all the performances are great. But one of the more interesting ones is I've never, ever... seeing someone do anything sexy to the Team America theme song.
Oh, yeah, that was...
That Captain America.
Yeah, she did Captain America, and it was awesome.
On 4th of July.
So, yeah, each of the dancers had the theme, and they were all, like, nerd and comic book themed.
Yeah, you had the two ballet dancers, which I think that they were the only ones that didn't really have one.
Yeah, they did Beautiful People, I think, was their song.
But they had the lady dressed as Spock.
Yeah,
they had
Spock.
The Captain America.
Captain America.
You had the Black Cat.
Yeah, we had Black Cat.
And then, like I said, we had Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think that was the one anime, but I don't know what anime she was.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that anime.
And then you had like the little kitty.
Yeah, the stage kitten that would come out and do her thing.
And clean things.
Yeah, so it was, and I mean, and also to get to the second half of what happened, is the magic.
Yeah.
They actually did it, it was, you know, they're not just having women come out and get naked for us. Mm-hmm. They actually had a magic act going on intermittently, and I thought those were really cool. The first two guys, you could tell that's why they were the first two guys.
Yeah.
But they had the amazing AJ, who was like a carnival midway type magician.
Yeah.
He came out and explained some of the history behind, you know, certain carnival midway acts and why
yeah.
circuses and carnivals did things the way they did as far as like...
Yeah.
He
was more towards the middle of the show.
He was. Who else did they have?
They had Nathan Phan.
Yes.
The Asian magic man, and he had to go, he's like, I fought a lot of Asian people to get that URL.
He was really good.
Yeah. I don't think, and nobody was bad, you know?
No, they were.
But the best part is everyone had their own vibes. Like, there wasn't anybody treading on each other's feet. Like, you know, like you said, AJ, he had that very old-timey vibe, and because he was an older gentleman, he had, like, that air of being a grandfather, which was really cool, really helped
yeah.
his act. You had a Bizarro,
Bizarro, Dino, and Shocker.
Yeah.
And so they were like a trio that did like their act together.
I mean, they would like kind of pass it off almost
yeah.
like a minstrel show. Like, all right, we're all together. Now it's just me. Now it's just us two. Now it's all three of us. Now, you know.
Yeah. They were really good.
Yeah, and Dinostat's whole thing was science!
He was like kind of like a steampunkish era, like, mad scientist.
Yeah, and then you had Bizarro, who was very, like, a teller from Penn and Teller.
Yeah, definitely. No talking, doing weird, you know, oh, I'm going to stab my hand with a rose, and I'm going to eat all these balls, and oh, where are they coming from?
And how are they growing?
Oh, I'm going to eat this balloon, and then he's going to stick his hand through my gut and pull it out as a balloon animal.
Yeah. And then there was the Shocker, who was the world's only professional wrestler and professional magician, and his description was, I'm gonna pretend to beat you up while I pretend to do Harry Potter shit.
He was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just like how he's like, I'm just gonna pretend to do a lot of things.
Yeah. And then you got up on stage during the host of the entire event, William Draven. He was the magician that was kind of in charge of everything. He was the producer. And you got up on stage during his act.
Yeah, I was like, because he said I need to volunteer, and I was like, me. I was being such a dork.
But it was really cool because he did Harry Houdini's Escape from a Straitjacket.
Which are 2 chains.
Yeah. And you got up there and you had to put him in the straitjacket and everything and do the chains.
And he was being pretty funny while doing it. He was just like, this is probably something you find in your closet, right, Armando? And then he was even saying, like, you ever put somebody in one of these? I was like, only on Fridays.
It's a good thing it's a Friday.
Yeah.
So
I was like, wow, we're like, let's make this an act, Will.
Yeah, and he actually, and here's the thing where I'm in, because Mondo and I have been friends for over 10 years. We've known each other since high school.
Yeah.
And one of the things is he issued a challenge to Mondo. He said, I bet, because we're not going to time this, he's like, but I bet that I can get out of this straitjacket before you can finish drinking this bottle of Gatorade. And the thing you guys don't know about Mondo is, I once saw Mondo down an entire big bottle of Gatorade.
No, Snapple.
It was Snapple, an entire bottle of Snapple, before our friend even finished counting down from 3 to get him to start. She was going, okay, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. And you were like, I'm done. And so I lean over to the guy next to us and I go, I've known this guy for 11 years. He's going to win. And then so he goes, okay, Mondo, on the count of 3, the audience is going to count down for 3, and on 3, we're both going to go. And then they counted down, and you did this weird little, like, flourish thing where, like, you decided to spin in a circle and, like, do ballet for a second. And then like, you grabbed the bottle and, like, you kind of, like, presented it to the audience. And then you looked over and realized, holy crap, he's starting.
Yeah.
And then you, like, popped the cap off. I don't even think you twisted. You just, like, popped. Like, started downing it. And if you hadn't done that little flourish thing, you would have won.
Yeah. It was intense because I drink a lot.
Yeah.
I drink very fast. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's how we won the Alpine Village drinking competition at their Oktoberfest, because I drank like a boot, which had 3 pints of beer, like,
yeah,
14 seconds.
I've seen you do the boot. I think we went to a party one time where you did the boot.
Yeah, so it's like, I honestly didn't know how fast he was going to be, and so I was like, well, let me, like, slightly ham it up, just in case, because I know I can drink really fast.
Yeah.
You know, even if I try to drink slow, I drink really fast. it's just a force of habit. Like, that's why it sucks going to bars, because I'll be like, everyone's like, cheers, I already finished my beer.
But definitely, it was definitely an experience, and...
But he was pretty fucking fast. Like,
yeah.
Like, he did it, like, I don't even know if we made it to, like, past 15 seconds for him to get out.
No, definitely. He was really fast, because he was like, normally it's 45 seconds.
Yeah.
That was not 45 seconds.
No, it wasn't.
Infinitely faster. So that was really cool to see you got up on stage, and... Yeah.
Because it's funny, because when we got the press release, like, he personally emailed me back when I said I'm interested, so I was like, I wonder if he put 2 and 2 together. If not, I'm going to email him and be like, hey there, William, here's the write-up. Also, I was on stage. I was the guy who drank the Gatorade. So that was day one. Day two was interesting. I was only there for, like, half a day.
Okay.
So I only went to 2 panels. I did a lot of roaming around. I did a lot of exploring and just meeting random people and saying, hey, what's up? It was pretty fun, and it was really weird, because the 2 panels I went to, one of them, it just said Ninja Slayer, and I was like, okay, sure, why not? And when I got there, it was not Ninja Slayer.
Okay.
It was actually Vic Montagna, or Manana, or something. Mm-hmm. The guy who played Alphonse Eric from Fullmetal Alchemist had a panel.
So that's cool.
So I was there, and he was, like, really engaging the audience, and I have a video of him leading the crowd in singing Let It Go.
That's awesome.
And he was just really nice, really charismatic with the kids, and it was fun. I answered a lot of questions and just talked about stuff. He has, like, apparently he has, like, a show where they recreate some of the stuff from Star Wars, the original like series, but also taking off where the series ends. Because I guess in episode 3, which just came out, mm-hmm. like the beginning of the episode is the last 60 seconds of the last episode of Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
And so ideally their whole goal, because they were supposed to be on a 5-year mission, but they only got the 3 years because the show got canceled.
Yeah.
So he was saying, our goal is to end roughly where the Star Trek the first movie is.
All right.
You know, so we're going to show you, in our minds, what happened in those, you know, those 2 years for the rest of the plan and to seeing, you know, Kirk become an admiral mm-hmm. and all these other things.
Okay. That actually sounds really awesome.
Yeah. It's really nuts. And then, so I went to the Cosplay Federation panel, which was really cool. It was nuts. There wasn't a lot of wrestling going on. It was more just cutting promos. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, when you cut a promo, it's really good. So, you know, and everyone cut great promos. I remember Luke Cage, who didn't make it to the finals, dude, he cut one of the best promos. He goes, it doesn't matter if it's a Money in the Bank match. It doesn't matter if it's a Fatal 3-Way. It doesn't matter if it's a ladder match. Because when I'm there, it's a cage match.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But it was perfect, mm-hmm. you know. And everyone cut great promos.
That's really awesome. One of the things we didn't talk about with the burlesque show is that one of the stars of the show,
Steve the Chair,
was Steve the Chair, which just so happened to be like a thing where like a chair ended up, one of the girls, Mr. Cubes, mm-hmm. and so there was just a chair sitting out on the stage by itself, and Vixen had to come out and like fluff the crowd really quick to give the girl time to like change or whatever.
Yeah,
and so she just so happened to like offhandedly. As we were chanting, like, chair, 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 mentioned, oh, Steve the Chair.
Yeah.
And so one of the guys I saw on your Instagram had a chair, and he came down and, like, smacked the ref with a chair. And I was like, what is that guy doing with Steve the Chair?
And I was like, he's becoming the new CWF Tag Team Championship team. You know, and it was pretty great, you know. So we enjoyed that. I mean, it was a great weekend. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to write about it. And I can't wait to go again next year. I can't wait to see what they're going to do to up the ante.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to go back next year.
I'm trying to go more days because, like, there was stuff Thursday and Sunday. I wanted to do the replay Symphony of Heroes.
Definitely.
You know, other things like that. So we'll have to add more and try to experience a lot more new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we're going to go take a song break. We're actually going to play Mabu by the band Pup. And so when we do that, we're going to come back and just kind of talk about one or two quick little things before calling it a day. Because mm-hmm. I realized we talked a lot about anime, so we actually went over time. But hey, you know what? That's how it goes, and it flies. So here's Pup, and we'll be back in a second.
Sweet. Bye, guys.
Look, I know today is today, and it's not tomorrow. That rush.
everyone. Welcome back. That was a song from what Mondo tells me by the band Pup. They're from Canada,
yes.
Is what I was told to say.
Yes, they were Keep America's Snow.
Okay. And so, yeah, so we're going to do just some news items here at the end because we don't have a lot of time. We don't want to keep you guys for too long. So, Community's back for season 6 on Yahoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yahoo is reviving the show, and I'm assuming that it's meant to, like, spearhead, like, their own line of creative programming.
Yeah.
So, what better way than to take something that already has an established fan base and has a lot of buzz because of how up in the air it's been?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this show has been absolutely like, oh, it's canceled, but it's not canceled, and this person's leaving, and this person got fired, and all this crazy stuff going on with it. So, let's hope that there's a little bit of stability now.
Yeah. You know, and it's nice because now we're halfway through the prophecy. We have 6 seasons. Now we need the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, so we're getting there. And, people are saying there's talks about it, so we'll see what happens with that.
Okay.
But but more importantly, this highlights a really interesting issue. Well, we're living, and I don't want to say the golden era because we haven't reached yet, but we're living in the building of the entire reshaping of how TV programs work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're seeing a lot more original content online from companies like Hulu's doing their own stuff, Amazon Prime,
yeah, Netflix.
Netflix is the one who started it all. They're the bigs right now. So
yeah, definitely.
We'll see if I'm pretty sure they're going to keep that ball just because of what their service is. Like, their service is, you know, obviously you rent movies, but the big thing is the streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's like it's a built-in, you know, they did Arrested Development, Orange is the New Black, was it House of Cards?
House of Cards, yeah. And speaking of House of Cards, like Kevin Spacey actually, what he did, I think I talked about this a couple episodes back.
We've actually talked about it in 2 different episodes.
Yeah, where he gave the speech at the Edinburgh TV Festival and said, hey, this is the new era, is internet. So
you can find that on YouTube, right?
You definitely find that on YouTube, yes.
Yes. All right, so speaking of new eras and new things, there's a new Sharknado coming out.
Sharknado 2.
Featuring Jared the Subway Guy. That's literally what, like, the thing says.
Wow.
There's if you go online, you can find a picture, and I'm just like, is Jared just that hard up for money where he's got to star in a Sharknado?
I haven't seen him in a Subway commercial for years, so I think he is.
You know what? I wonder how big of a role he's going to have. Is it just like a cameo just to build hype, or is he going to be like an actual star?
I don't know. Maybe it'll just be like a cameo. He's going to be eating a sandwich, and like the Sharknado's going to eat him.
He's going to eat the sharks. That's how he saves the day.
I can see that.
We just ruined the movie.
We just spoilers. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So, Sharknado 2. No, Sharknado 3. Jared Nado.
I actually saw a webcomic on Tumblr where people were like, okay, we need more marine life-based disaster films.
Gator Kane.
Yeah, so it was like Gator Kane, Seal Nami, Sharknado 2. Like, it was hilarious. So yeah, what's the next news item?
The next news item is about Green Arrow, the comic book.
Okay.
So Jeff Lemire and, I forget what the name of the artist is, but so they're after, I forget what issue is, they're no longer going to be the creative team, and they're getting new writers. And so they're going to get Andrew Kreisberg and Ben Sokolowski.
Okay.
And they work on Arrow, the TV show.
All right.
Which is really interesting. And so, people that know Jeff Lemire is a great writer. He's an underwater welder. He's done Animal Man,
mm-hmm.
and then Arrow right now, Justice League Dark. He's done a lot of more DC and like Vertigo. Like A Sweet Tooth is another one. So he's done a lot.
Okay,
he's a very like well known in the industry. And so he arguably when he came on to the book, they're saying that that's when the real Green Arrow and the New 52 started. So. It'll be sad to see him go, but I'm interested to see what the future holds with these new writers.
Definitely. I'm actually looking, because I saw something on Facebook earlier today. Someone posted that they're actually bringing the Atom to Green Arrow.
Ooh.
Coming up soon.
That's interesting.
So I'm trying to look for it. I'm on my phone, like, scrolling furiously.
Yeah.
My page isn't loading fast enough, but yeah.
That's not the only time you're doing something furiously and your page isn't loading fast enough. No, but if you can't bring it up, we'll have to shelve it.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it next week. So for right now, yeah, that's just a thing. We'll talk about the actor who's playing him and everything.
Yeah, but you know, So like I said, thanks for joining us in this 9th episode. We are one away from reaching double digits.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a momentous occasion for us. We're kind of like that in a couple where you celebrate, like, month anniversaries.
Definitely, because this has been, some weeks we've been like, how are we going to record? And we've been sitting in your car, like, in front of my house.
Yeah, with me sleeping.
Yeah.
And while we're recording.
So, definitely, yeah, thank you guys for sticking with us for this long. We are definitely going to do more cons, bigger, better things on the horizon.
Yeah. I've been looking at mics. I told myself if we made this to 10 episodes that I would, you know, invest in a mic, and so here we are. So now I get where my normal mouth is and really buckle down and buy a mic. So in the near future, you're gonna hear a big change in the quality of the audio. So
definitely.
So not to say that it's been bad, but you know, there's obviously, you know, you want a real professional mic, so you're gonna hear it.
Yeah, definitely.
And hopefully the banter will improve the audio quality.
definitely better banter.
Definitely better banter. We're gonna get upgrades. We'll get in the Iron Man suits. The fucking Iron Man.
I'm the Iron Man.
He's like, I'll never bet against the Sox.
I think we've made that joke like 3 times already, and no one's gonna understand where it came from.
I think all one of our listeners gets it.
Yeah.
We actually have more than that. I just like saying all one.
Yeah, all one. All
right. So stay with us next week as we enter a hot dog eating contest.
All right. Bye, guys.
Say goodbye.